Alrighty, are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read a couple of verses back to back, and then we will pray to open this message. And we're going to have the last installment this morning of our series, For His Glory. And we will look at Ephesians 3. A very common verse that we probably all know, and then the verse following that. And let's read verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Notice verse 21. To him be glory where?
In the church.
To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians. Take a right. You'll pass Philippians. You'll pass Colossians. You'll pass 1 Thessalonians. And you'll land on 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. When he comes in that day to be glorified where? In his holy people, in his saints, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Let's pray. Gracious Father, what an honor to be able to open your word and to plumb the depths. Father, to seek the truths that lie richly deep within your word. And Father, to make the application to our lives where we can continue to live for your glory, God. For that is our purpose. That is our initial purpose of our existence and the ultimate purpose of our existence. To live for your glory. And we're thankful for this privilege in Jesus' name. Give us open hearts, open minds. Teach us, Lord, by your word and by your spirit. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to entitle the message. It comes from a quote by one of the early church fathers. The guy's name was Irenaeus, and he said this, "It is to the glory of God for a person to be fully alive." It is to the glory of God for a person to be fully alive. Let me rephrase it from a different author, a current theologian. His name is John Piper, and this is the way he said it. He said, God is most glorified when a person is most alive and themselves. God is most glorified in a person's life when that person is most alive and most themselves. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. In fact, let's start with a slide that I was asked to officiate a wedding. See my little funky smile behind the groom and the bride. There's a story we had. It was a very, very, very nice wedding. We had it actually, if you can't tell, we were on one of the greens. The green, I think, I don't know what hole it led to, but we were actually on the green. And my friend's home was their backyard is the golf course. So it was in Effingham past couple days, and it was a blast. You know, the couple, when they asked me to talk, to give the vows, and they said, Pastor, it's going to be a little humid, it's going to be a little warm. So can you please shorten the ceremony? I said, I have no problem with that. I said, we can get in there, you know, do a wham, bam, thank you, Jesus type of wedding. How many of y'all like wham, bam, thank you? I think the men like those quick weddings better than the women. The women want all the pageantry. They want all the frolly raw. The guys are like, let's get in, get out. Right, Gerald? Let's get in. Let's do it like an operation, a military operation. Get in, get the job done, get out. And so we did that. And, you know, I came to a part when I was talking about Genesis 2 and how the Lord had Adam name all the animals in the kingdom, in the animal kingdom, and he had named rhinoceroses, and he had named owls, and he had named gazelles, and he had named camels. And after a long day of that, you know, the Bible says in Genesis 2 that Adam, I'm sharing this, and the groom's here, and he's just smiling, and the bride's here, she's just smiling. They're thinking, man, we're going to be out of here in no time. And then I start kind of freelancing. How many of y'all know that your preacher can freelance? And then that's when the eyes kind of start getting bigger and they start bracing. Well, at least the bride was. And I said, you know, after a long day, it does say in Genesis 2 that there was no helper found among the animal kingdom for Adam. So consequently, the Lord put Adam into a deep sleep, didn't he? And then while he was in that slumber, the Lord took what from Adam? A rib from his side. You know, and I drew the significance of that rib. And then I said, and from that rib, he created a woman. And when Adam woke up, I said, normally the way we read the scripture is like, and Adam woke up and he saw Eve and he said, she shall be called woman because she was taken from the womb of man. And I said, no, that's not the way it happened. I said, the Lord roused Adam from deep sleep, and he said, Adam, look what I brought you. And he's like, he saw the curves on her, curves that no camels had on their humps, and he saw the, this is my freelance, all right? And he saw the aerodynamic figure on that woman, better than a gazelle, and he said, whoa, man, this is flesh of my flesh. And he was probably shaken, and he needed a cold shower. That was my freelance. You should have seen the face on the bride. She's like, you're not doing this. This is my wedding. But after I got to the punchline, they were all laughing, and the whole bunch of people started laughing. And then we were done. And I say all this to say this. You know, the parents loved me. They said, this is why we picked you, Pastor Joe, because we knew you would kind of have the fun of it. You would have, it would be celebrative. It would be joyful. It would be, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then my friend, the wife of the groom, because the father of the groom, the wife of the mother of the groom, are my good friends. They're like family to me. And so they told me that a week before they had been at a wedding where the priest got up, or the minister got up and said, you know, X amount of marriages end up in divorce. That was his opening line. Wow. And he said, and some of them will end in death. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a celebration. This is not the time to play the funeral dirge. Come on, somebody. Amen. And they said, Pastor, they said, it was a nightmare for the couple that was getting married because it was so depressing. And they said, that's not the place for that. And they said, that's why I'm thankful that you freelanced about Eve and talked about her curves and all. What am I trying to say? It is the glory of God to be fully alive, church family. We are believers, are we not? We're children of the living God. The Bible calls us living stones. We should be fully alive. God should be glorified in our lives. Can I get a witness? Shouldn't we be people of smiles, people of joy, people of energy, people of love? Come on, somebody, that we're generous with our time, we're generous with our love, we're generous with our smiles, we're generous with our laughter. It is the glory of God to be fully alive. That's what brings God's glory the most. God did not want children that were beat down, walking around with their heads down, with burdens to carry, and them suffering for Jesus. You know, I hate that one hymn. And there's a few I don't like, but I hate that one hymn. Here we are, pilgrims trudging through the heat and the cold, so foot sore and so poorly shod. Who remembers those hymns? Sheila, do you remember that hymn? So foot sore and so poorly shod, but at the end of the journey, there's God. Isn't that the way they say it? There's God. I hate that hymn. Can I share a few more that I don't like? I think one of them we've sung here before, and I'm just like, Joe, behave yourself. Don't say anything. They don't need your opinion. What about Jesus loves even me? Is it really a reach for the Lord to even love you? Doesn't the Lord love everybody the same? I mean, you might feel like the Lord has to make an extra reach, an extra effort to love you, but does the Lord really have to make an extra effort to love you? Then why in the world do we sing it? Jesus loves even me.
Maybe some people need that.
I don't. Or what about Jesus? Reach out for Jesus because he's passing you by. Really? Jesus isn't passing me by. Jesus lives on the inside of me and on the inside of you, church people. Come on, somebody. Right? Or what about a more modern, don't throw stones at me, okay? Drop your hymn books, you know, because they sing that one song. And I remember the first time I heard it, I wanted to gag. And I was in my car and I was like, man, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. And it's the one that, you know, I am the thorn on your brow. I am the tears on your eyes. Well, however it goes, what are the lyrics? Somebody help me. What's that? I'm Judas's kiss. Church, does the Lord feel that way about us? No. He doesn't say, oh, there goes my little Judas kiss. Then why do we sing it? This is just me. You know what I'm saying? This is the pet peeves according to Pastor Joe. If we don't really believe that, why do we go on and sing it? I'm not Judas Kiss. You're not Judas Kiss. You're a child of the living God, adopted forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. You belong at the table of the Lord. See, now you feel it, right? That's what you are. That's your idea. Oh, Pastor Joe, but I feel so unworthy. Haven't we all felt unworthy at some point in our lives, people? Did the Lord call us because we were worthy? No. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Amen? It has nothing to do with worthiness. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So can we quit all this shucking and jiving and singing songs we really don't believe? Yeah, I'm Judas Kiss. I'm the sweat running down his brow. Well, next time you come around, if you go around touting that gospel, then I'm going to call you God's red-headed stepchild. Well, Pastor Joe, don't call me that. But that's the way you come across, singing those kinds of songs. Come on, somebody. How many of you are children of God? Yeah. Yep. Then you belong. God doesn't need to make an extra effort to reach you. Amen? Okay, where was I in the message? It is to the glory of God to be fully alive. Amen? Yeah. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Let's Irenaeus said it like this. It is to the glory of God to be fully alive. Let's see the way Jesus said it. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 16. Let your light, what?
Shine.
So shine before men that they may see your good works and what?
Praise your Father.
praise your Father, glorify your Father in heaven. When does God receive glory? When we are secret service agents in the kingdom of God? No. What did Jesus say? Let your light so what? Shine. We are as a church, the church of Jesus Christ. We are a city, what? Put in the valley. We are set on a hill. Why? Because the Lord wants us to shine His light. And in shining His light, people will notice the good deeds we're doing in His name and for His glory. And what will the people do in turn? They will turn around and give Him glory. Amen? It is the glory of God to be fully alive. Well, Pastor Joe, you just don't know how bad I've had it. I'm a travailing, and I'm undertaking, and I, you know, some of these old school things, man. What this must have been pre-Xanax era, before they had the depression medication. Come on, somebody, because they were like Lord, I know, Lord, I gotta suffer for Jesus, but it'll all be worth it because I want my little log cabin in glory. I don't want a log cabin in glory. What if Jesus wants to give me a mighty mansion? Will I be disappointed if I don't get a little log cabin in glory? No. I hope my mansion's next to Cynthia's. Maybe she'll get the log cabin in glory. She's from Arkansas. Anyway. I'm getting out of bounds. You can still keep that in there. I want her to hear that. Thanks, Miss Sheila. Them Arkansian people, you know, they like being barefooted, and bless the Lord. What's that?
You'll be the one hurting next.
Yeah, I might need hip surgery, Gerald. Or something more. Yeah. Anyway, church family, do we get the message this morning? How does the Lord want us to be? Alive. Alive. The Bible says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that Psalm 37, verse 4? Delight yourself in the Lord. So are we a people of delight? Are we a people of joy? Are we a people that are generous with our smiles, generous with our time, generous with our love toward others? Or do we play it close to the vest? Bless the Lord. You know, there are too many suspicious Christians running around. And they're always so suspicious of everyone. They're kind of like, I don't trust anybody but myself. And I'm on the lookout for somebody else's sins. You know, I once had a youth pastor. Man, this youth pastor, he was a bully. That's what he was. He was a bully. He would get on Facebook and he would troll the walls of the teens in our church, and he would call them out for any of their posts. I'm like, dude. And he would call them out on their posts. I'm like, brother, if you have something to say to them, say it. Say it. Treat them with dignity. Say it behind closed doors. But he used to do that, and he'd always say, so proudly, he would kind of pound his chest and say, well, Jesus said that they shall know them by their fruits, and I am the fruit inspector. I wanted to go, you're not a fruit inspector, bucko. Come on, somebody. None of us are fruit inspectors. The Bible calls us to inspect our own fruit, right? What's that, Brother Lau?
I said somebody should have relieved him of his job.
That's right. You are right, sir. That's right. Somebody should have relieved him of his job. But the Bible says test yourself. Test your own faith. Test yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, to see if you're in the faith. Judge yourselves, lest you be judged. But we're not called to be fruit inspectors in somebody else's vineyard. Amen? I mean, show that to me in the Bible. Where is the chapter and where is the verse that says you're called to inspect other people's fruit? I'm not going to say it. It says inspect your own fruit. It does say use discernment towards the wolves in sheep's clothing. But church family, don't be suspicious of other people. We want to be fully alive. We don't want to play life close to the vest. We want to be fully alive. That Matthew chapter 5 rendition, I love it out of the Message Bible because it says, keep open house. Are our lives an open house to others? Are we secure enough to tell others, you know, I love Jesus, but you know what? I need Jesus, and the reason I need Jesus is because I fall short daily. Are we that secure in ourselves to say, you know, hey, I've flubbed, I've failed, I've messed up in my past, but thanks be to God, He's never given up on me. How many of y'all would join me today and say, I almost gave up on myself, but the Savior wouldn't let me give up on me because He never gave up on me? And how many of you can say with me that though we always haven't been true to Him, He's always been true to us? Those are causes, church family, to be fully grateful and fully alive. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for this time together in Your Word. Lord God, we cement this message in our beings. Lord, help us to be fully alive. Help us, Lord, not to play life close to the vest. Help us to reach out with energy. Reach out with love. Reach out with smiles and laughter and enjoyment and joy. Father, help us to rejoice in all situations, to delight ourselves in You. Lord, in Your presence, our pleasures forevermore is joy, everlasting joy and pleasures forevermore. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.